Hello and welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer. I'm one of your co-hosts. The second co-host is my capable colleague, Shannon. Shannon.
Hi, Jim. We are super excited to be podcasting today. We have a new podcast guest. We are joined by Una McQuarrie. Una, could you take a second, introduce yourself, and tell us a little bit about where you work and the kind of community that you work with?
Sure. Yes, my name is Una McQuarrie. I work at Massage Envy Franchising. So I work in their corporate office. I'm the community manager for our internal franchise community. So it's a little bit of a hybrid. It's technically a Jive internal community, but we do have people who are not in our office as members. And I do a little bit of everything. I am the only community manager. I'm on the communications team of two. So, I run moderation, I plan programming, I handle user training, anything related to the community falls under my purview, basically.
It's interesting. That is a pretty unique kind of community ecosystem. Can you share any unique struggles or challenges that you faced in being the face of franchisees and in that kind of community?
Yeah, I think I like to talk about it as sort of a hybrid community because we do, you know, we are all part of the Massage Envy family, but our franchisees are not corporate employees. You know, we can't tell them what to do. We legally, we're limited in terms of what we can require of them. But they depend on us for quite a lot of stuff. So particularly with franchisees, they tend to be older and they tend to be less familiar with social tools. I know that's a bit of a stereotype, but that has certainly played out in our community. I think the biggest piece of pushback we've gotten from it has been that they think of our community as just Facebook for work, that it doesn't, I'm sure like that's not a uncommon thing that people hear as community managers. And then, you know, we are sort of the corporate office in air quotes, scare quotes, maybe, you know, not all franchisees or people in the field feel this way. But I think in my experience, there has been a few of them that do have a bit of a suspicion when it comes to the corporate office, or maybe skepticism is a better word than suspicion. You know, we're not in the field. We're not on the front lines of the business. They don't see us as being necessarily experts on things. And so driving engagement to the community when I'm so far removed from so many of these members has been, that's been a challenge for sure. I think one of the things that we've done, I think successfully to drive them into the community has been to focus on the business value. You know, we have locations get their own login. So that's typically the location manager uses that location login to access the site. And they are super motivated by, you know, the Jive points there. They love the quests. They love chatting with other managers. They really understand the social aspect of it. And the franchisees tend not to be as driven by those factors. So initially, that was really what I was focusing on when I was pitching this platform to people and trying to drive them to sign on and post and use it. So really, the business value has been the thing that has worked. You know, we have new franchisees come into our corporate office and go through new franchisee training. And then we have renewing franchisees come in when their renewal is done. I think that's every 10 years. So I don't get a lot of opportunities to touch base face to face with them. When I do host training, you know, we give a training every time we have franchisees in the office for the platform. I really focus on the ways that the community is valuable. So you talk about, you know, the limitations of emailing people and making connections to your Outlook inbox and the benefits of working out loud and having access to the whole network. I think that's really helped people see the value in the community.
Yeah, it's interesting as you talk about the community and some of the struggles or challenges that you face. It seems like if you were able to build a culture of seeing the community as a place to share what's working and what's not working and get feedback, and it might be really valuable. I'm wondering if that's one of the tactics you've employed, and if you've got other ways that you've sought to get these folks engaged.
Yeah, I mean, we do definitely, I certainly view the community as a tool primarily for the field people, all the field folks, managers, franchisees, regional developers, to get an understanding of what's working for people and what's not working, and to share best practices, to share frustrations, to get help, to share, you know, create resources that they've created with one another. That's really been, I think, the most successful way to market the community to people who aren't in the office. You know, we have a pretty small office. It's only about 160 of us. So I can walk down the hall and bother people in the corporate office about logging in and answering questions and things. And I can't do that with our franchisees. One of the things that I find to be really effective at driving them and proving the value is working with them. We use, as a corporate member, as a person who's in the corporate office, I use the platform to send out stuff. So we push things from the corporate office, communications, rollout guides, new protocols, updated documents, that kind of stuff. We push out primarily from the corporate office, communications, rollout guides, things like that. And those things have an impact in the community, in the real world, in the real life community. And if we can collaborate with those franchisees to get them to share their experience on the platform, that seems to have made a difference in helping them get connected as well. You know, it's more credible if it's coming from a franchisee who owns a business or who owns several locations. Their point of view is more valuable, I think, than, you know, than mine. I've never worked in a massage envy location, so I don't have a real understanding of what it's like.
I have an idea.
Do you?
You should start a podcast.
I should start a podcast. What do you think that would give me, starting a podcast?
It would begin to highlight your members, and it would create bonds, hopefully, between members who have like experiences. And so, I mean, I'm saying it kind of seriously, but tongue in cheek, because we're doing a podcast now, but I do think there's value in using a different medium than they're used to seeing, which is typically text. And so I think if you were to host a regular podcast with, you know, franchisees and ask them some of the same questions, one of the things that Shannon and I like to do is ask everyone we talk to, you know, one or two of the same questions, because then someone who's listening over and over again starts to see trends, and that's really fascinating. Yeah, I do think that could be one way for you to break down some of the walls between members so that they have a different way of docking into each other.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think, I know we certainly use, we try and use the maximum number of diverse content types as possible. We send out our corporate communications via blogs. You know, we're hosted on Jive, so we send them out with the blog function. But we also post videos. We encourage our corporate leaders to start discussions on the platform. Sometimes if, you know, we have a new initiative coming out, we'll encourage somebody from the network to start a discussion as sort of a sneaky way to get the corporate message out from a different mouthpiece using a different outlet. But yeah, I think a podcast would fit right into that sort of menu of communication options.
I think that's, we'll see. Maybe we can help you on the operational side.
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, that's one of the things I think that's been helpful in making the platform successful is, and I don't like to say that, I don't usually say that naivete is like a good thing for people, but I don't have any other community manager experience. This is my first job as a community manager. So I don't have any, oh, well, I tried that before and it didn't work. I've tried dozens and dozens of things that didn't work, and that's fine. You know, this never stopped me from trying something else again.
I wanted to highlight something you had said. You were talking on, and I wanted to interrupt you and then I didn't, but you had said that one of the ways you get the franchisees to be involved is to share, you know, success stories, best practices, but then also sort of things that didn't work. And I think that's so important for people to hear, because it's really counterintuitive, right? To be like, tell us what failed. But people love to talk about that stuff. They love it. Like, I think in the network, I think, you know, Hillary was like, we're going to do this, and like sort of a show and tell of like disasters. And it's awesome. because something failed for someone doesn't mean it will fail in your community. But it's also just very empowering to hear people be like, yeah, I tried this and it didn't work. And then I tried something else and it did. Like, it's so easy. Like you said, you're a one-person community team on a two-person communications team. That you can feel so siloed. Like, who do you talk to? Who do you bounce ideas off of? And then so just to hear people be like, yeah, this. And I think franchising is the same thing, right? Like, you're running your location or your handful of locations somewhere, and there's all these other people out there dealing with the same thing, but you're not in an office together. You're not, you know, you don't have a water cooler. So I think that's an awesome idea. And it does not surprise me that people really respond to that, even though it's sort of counterintuitive.
Yeah. You can't see me nodding my head vigorously, but I am. Yes. That's been one of the most interesting things, I think, is just seeing the huge range of experience that different franchisees in different parts of the country have had with the same concepts. There's a great thread happening in our community at the moment, a discussion thread about how we structure our membership system, right? So do we do a month-to-month? Do we do a yearly? Do we do an extra fee? Do we have tiered membership? And one of the most, I find it kind of amusing, I think, but everybody's got a different opinion. Some people think month-to-month is the way of the future. That's what we should be doing. You know, we're never going to get the millennials because they don't want to commit to anything. And then other people are saying, well, I ran gyms for ages and this idea is not a good idea. It did not work. Nobody showed up. And so just watching the way that all these, given the opportunity to share their experiences, they really are sharing. And I think there's so much value in that. It gives us at the corporate office a much better understanding of how things actually play out day to day in the field. It gives people in the field the ability to talk to one another and realize, like, okay, well, maybe in New York, this isn't the best idea, but in New Mexico, this might work for our clientele here. It gives them the ability to feel heard and they can share their opinion. It's very interesting that watching what didn't work. That doesn't usually get much more engagement, those threads, than I've got this great best practice. Look at this document. It's a lot of people saying thank you. But when someone says, hey, I tried this and it didn't work, can anybody else help? The engagement's just huge.
That's awesome. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. I know you said you wear a lot of hats. I believe that's true.
Yes.
The number one question we get is around engagement. Like, how do I get people to, you know, start being involved? How do I get them to keep coming back and being involved? Do you have any best practices for the kind of content that does? I mean, we're kind of talking about it, right? But that content with the kind of audience you work with?
Yeah, I think we try sort of a little bit of everything, right? And see what sticks and what doesn't. One of the things that I have found to be across the board the most effective, particularly in a community where we do have sort of quote unquote outsiders as members, you know, we have franchisees and managers who are not corporate employees. If we can get them to do it, if we can get them to post the content, they respect it so much more. They're so much more engaged with it. They're so much more excited about it. We rolled out, I'll give you an example, actually. So we rolled out a new service last summer, Total Body Stretch. I don't know if you guys have seen the commercials for it. But we have a new service, and we were encouraging our franchisees to hire physical therapists as stretch service providers. And you know, we posted a bunch of communications about it, and they got about the normal level of engagement, a handful of questions and comments and stuff. And we reached out to a franchisee who had hired a few physical therapists as service providers and was just loving having them in the location. And he posted this great discussion post, talked about how the process worked, the benefits and the downsides, you know, addressed some of the concerns that we'd heard from the community. And, you know, when I did my end of the year wrap up, we posted that in June, I think, and it was still in December, one of the most viewed posts on the site. I think because it had that validity, it had that credibility, because it was coming from somebody who'd actually done it, who was like in the field doing the job. And that really resonated with people. I think they got a lot of value out of it. So certainly when you can turn the content around and let the community do it for you, I know that maybe sounds like I'm pawning the work off, and that's not really it, because we do work with these people very closely before they post these discussions. But letting them take the lead and letting them have the voice has really been a huge win, I think, for us. And there's also, you know, I talked before about the naivete being kind of a good thing, because I just try a bunch of random stuff and see what happens. I think you have to not let one bad experience turn you off from strategy in another context. We, you know, when we launched the platform, we set up a quest to let everybody try a bunch of different things about this new and exciting platform. And we were kind of in love with the idea of the quests at the beginning. We used them for a lot of different things. And we tried to use one for another event later in the year, and it just got no engagement. Like, I think we had 2 people complete it, and we have a community of about 3,000 people. So yeah, the numbers on that were not great, but we have another quest. We bring in our managers into the location to give them training, and they love the manager quest. I mean, every month when I come in the morning, my moderation queue, it's like over 100, because there's so many comments and stuff on these quest threads. So I think the lesson that I take away from that too is just because a content strategy or a kind of content didn't work for X doesn't mean it won't work for Y, and you should still give it a shot if you think it sounds like a good idea.
That's really fascinating. I wonder if it was truly about the person or the role that you were targeting, or if it was something unique about that specific quest that just didn't resonate with them. I wonder if you tried a different quest with that audience, if it would.
Yeah, I think with the second one that didn't work out so well, that was really targeted at the franchisees. I just don't think they want to engage with the platform in that way. I don't think the idea of, you know, getting a bunch of internet points does anything for them. I think it's also about, you know, knowing who your audience is. If you're talking to a group of users like franchisees who want to get in and get out of the community with the information that they need to do their job, who want to have business conversations, they don't want to be sending badges and things like that. That doesn't float their boat. You have to cater to the audience that you're trying to reach. Otherwise, you're never going to get to them.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, on to one of our favorite questions. Una, what is your community superpower?
My community superpower. I spent a long time thinking about this because I was not sure what the answer was. And I think my community superpower is probably I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this. I'm an enthusiastic plate spinner. I think that's the best way to phrase it.
I don't think I've ever heard that one before.
So as the community manager, I'm the only community manager, and I run the entire community. But I have a little fleet of space admins who manage their own spaces and, you know, answer questions, talk to their leaders to formulate responses to things. But I really have to direct them, and I also have to keep an eye on what's going on in every space in the community so that I can tell them what I need them to do. So, you know, for example, I will see a bunch of questions come through in my moderation thread, and I'll go, okay, I got to move these questions around, because for a lot of people in the community, they don't post stuff in the right places. And if it doesn't go to the right place, it doesn't get seen by the right people, doesn't get answered. So I have to start with a pretty good understanding of where all these questions are supposed to go. What department does this reports question belong in? You know, is this a retail and services question, or is this a training question? So I have to have that knowledge base. On top of that, I have to keep track of which questions got posted when and have they been answered. I have to follow up with my space admins and know which of those relationships I can sort of work to get them to do what I want, and which of those relationships I'm just going to have to like muscle through. So balancing all of those relationships, as well as relationships with the users on the platform. You know, I have a handful of users who are super excited, and I have a handful of users who are troublemakers, and I have to maintain relationships with all of those people, making sure that nothing goes wrong and other things go right. I think just being able to keep, and I have to do all of this on top of planning community or communications strategy with my boss and figuring out, you know, oh, I saw a bunch of questions come through on this particular topic. Maybe this is a good community manager blog. So just having, there's like a million things going on at once every single day. And I try very hard not to let my enthusiasm for the platform wane in the face of sort of overwhelming responsibility. You know, I'm the advocate for this platform. I'm the person in the office that if you have a question for me, I'm going to find a way to answer it, tie it back to the community. So I think my ability to just keep tabs on, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, but probably hundreds of different things every day without losing track of any of them or getting them confused, I would probably say that's my superpower.
So you're not a multitasker, you're like triple, quadruple, million tasker.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
And that's something that that's part of why I like this job so much is I used to be a reporter. That's what I went to school for. And as a reporter, that's part of your job too. You got to maintain dozens or hundreds of different relationships with different people. You got to milk different people for different stories. You have to be keeping track of all of your deadlines. You know, I work better under pressure. And so all those competing priorities really works for me. It doesn't work for some people, but for me, that really, I don't know, gets me out of bed in the morning.
Well, Una, thank you so much for taking the time today. This has been a wonderful look into what you do and how you do it. And we look forward to seeing you in the network.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.